Well, here we go. I'm recording. Welcome to a cursed episode.
Another cursed episode. We're raw dogging it, baby.
Oh my goodness. That sounds disgusting.
Well, we're on Discord.
Yeah, unfortunately we are. Drew, could you speak, please?
Yes, I learned to do so at a
Thank you.
young age.
Chris, could you speak again,
I
please?
was born at a very young age, you know.
Yeah,
Really?
I was born really
Me
young.
too.
Well, if
Actually,
you're
I
like
wasn't. I was
me, and I know I
very
am, then,
young.
that's one of my
Do you
favorite
know,
jokes.
all three of us
I
have
love
held the
that.
world record for the world's youngest person at one point.
I think they might have been sharing it. But, yeah.
Well, I mean, it depends how how much you measure the increments, right?
That's true. And, measuring a birth is kind of a slightly fluid thing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, let's not get into that, maybe.
Yeah,
It's
maybe
very
not
fluid. Lots of
that.
fluids.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I have in my hand a piece of paper once again. Incidentally, hello everybody.
Oh
Hello. That's
gosh.
a perfectly normal thing to do. Yeah, perfectly
Is
normal.
your heart
It's just a
your heart's going out?
it's just an unusual gesture. That's all it is.
Odd gesture, I
An odd
think you'll
gesture,
find.
yeah. An
Hamish,
odd gesture.
can you please stop being so ableist? He's neurodivergent, okay?
Right, okay, so am I, but
That's
that's,
what
you know.
it was.
Is that what being on ketamine's called now?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Being out of your fucking tits 24
Fucking
hours a day.
what a cunt.
Anywho, that aside,
It's, uh...
Holocaust aside.
it was a Nazi salute, though,
Oh,
wasn't
yeah,
it? Like,
it was a Nazi salute, yes. And I
he
mean,
put himself in, like, he.
he's edited
Like,
the
he.
two Nazi salute. He did it to the audience and then back to the picture of
Mm.
Trump or a flag or both or something. But he's edited them out for his version on X apparently. Because,
But
but
he
why would you
committed
if
to
it's
it.
perfectly normal? Anyway, he just wants the attention, so fuck him.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Like, he's just,
But at the same
he's
time, yeah.
being an
But the thing is,
edgelord.
it's like when you say, "Oh well, Trump's not a fascist." It's not about them as people. It's about what they enable at a very small everyday level. And if you remember the last time Trump was in
No,
power, the hate crime and the videos of people being attacked for all sorts of completely irrational reasons and things were there. And he's just signaling to people, "Look, this is it. We're fine now. We're in
Oh, for
charge."
sure. No, absolutely, I agree with
Anyway,
that, yeah.
let's ignore that cockery for a wee while. Is that a real
Holocaust
cactus? I
aside.
think I've asked this before because it looks like it could be
Oh,
a
this is
squishy
not a
toy.
real cactus. No,
Squishy toy.
this is a papier-mâché
Ah, right.
handcrafted
Yeah, it looks a bit
cactus,
like
yeah.
those squeezy things. I've got just to piss me off. People know I hate the wee blue prick. Somebody got me a Sonic one, but that's quite good because I can squeeze the fuck out of them.
Sorry, what's a wee blue prick?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic.
Oh right. Oh
The
okay.
wee blue prick with the red shoes.
Or your own cock if you squeeze it hard enough.
Yes. But it doesn't go as fast. Well, I
Depending
mean, for some people,
on your
it
skin
depends. Yeah.
coloration.
Well, no, if you're
You
squeezing it
can't
hard enough, it's
expect.
going to go blue no matter what you start off with, I think. I actually rewatched episodes 1, 2, and 3 this morning. For
Oh,
reasons.
did you forget where we were,
No, 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 I
Grandpa
just.
Hamish?
No, I just wanted to check a few things. And there's only one bit,
Oh.
there's a few little bits and pieces I've clarified in my own head, but there was one thing that I thought was worth noting. When I was rewatching episode 2, when Bobby's at the. Just before Bobby and all the other workers get. Told to, put their hands up and stop where they are and everything, when the police or whatever they are raid, she sees Lily, David's girlfriend, in a worker's outfit leaving the area, and I didn't notice that at first.
Oh, do you know what? I think I might have noticed that on one of my watches. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
and I
Yes,
think
I
that
think I might have
reinforces why
noticed that,
Bobby
didn't I?
thinks
Yeah.
she had something to do with the guy dying, because that's what happens
Yeah.
next, is she finds out the guy's dying.
Also, one of the things I kind of noticed was a bit odd about that scene is that the one co I know this was like just like a little bit of like visual exposition, but the cop just like he pulled out of his pocket the perception drug and just went,
Yeah.
And it's like
Yeah.
presumably if you're a cop, you just like take it before you go in. Like,
yeah, yeah, I didn't like that. That was a bit.
It was a bit sort of this is the obvious thing that's happening. Yeah, it was. But again,
yeah.
New
yeah.
series, new channel, as it were, new network, yeah. whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but I'd have preferred it if they did it a scene where they were like, pre-raid, they go, all right, everyone, take your pills.
Yeah,
focus yeah,
drug
just
or whatever.
Spell it out, but do it in an organic way.
Yeah, yeah it just felt very cinematic in a bad way. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. The first note I've got, I've got one Amos line and an Avasarala line. Of note for me, this one is when they start. It's near the start of the episode where Amos is reporting back to Holden what's happened with the Belters and Murtry and stuff. And at the end of the conversation, after explaining about the shooting and that he didn't see everything up to the apart from the end of it, blah, blah, he just says casually, "So you want me to shoot Marty then?"
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
And Holden's like, "No, don't, no more shooting. Don't shoot anybody. No, I don't want anybody else being shot." And the other line that stood out to me, this one is when Avasarala gets annoyed at her new opposition. Yeah, we'll get to that, I'm sure. When her new opposition person is like promising the earth to everybody in their speeches, and she says, "Oh yeah, everybody gets a pony. Everybody gets a blowjob."
I mean, I'm kind of like, you know, I'd hear her out.
I'd vote for that.
Well, I'd vote for that, obviously. Apart from the pony, I don't need the pony. I could do without the pony.
I mean the pony and blowjob parties, but I don't need the pony.
Well, the pony does make me wonder who's giving the blowjob. Maybe it is the
that's
pony.
The problem there, then. Yeah, that might be an issue.
They don't tell you that on the campaign trail, do they? I don't know, like, it's a little bit like, I don't know, to me, Avasarala is a little bit like, she's just becoming a more entertaining president man. Like, not characteristically. No, actually, oh no, that's, okay, sorry, that's well out of line, actually, because she's...
Yeah,
she's way, the manager of Earth, by the way.
Yeah, she's actually, in some ways, she's the opposite of president man insofar that she's too steadfast. It's too stubborn and too
She's not just waving. Dogmatic. She's not just flapping around in the wind like he was. She's sort of,
I mean, rigid. Her, like, the fundamental fear that's guiding her policy at the moment is legitimate. Like the idea that we don't know what the proto molecule it could literally wipe out humanity.
Is the boogeyman? Yeah.
I mean, it's. I don't think my problem with that isn't that she's she's wrong to have that fear, and therefore her reasoning is wrong. It's more that. Her reasoning is wrong in that, like, you can't control. People are going to go.
Yeah,
you've got to allow that and make the best of it and deal with it when it happens, because you're not going to stop people
but
from
also,
going through the thing.
The proto-molecule, which hasn't really been seen in recent episodes.
Like, yeah, yeah.
The worst thing we've seen the proto-molecule do, really, was
make
first
the
off, Eros
last
was...
thing.
But that wasn't a bad thing. That just made a ring.
It was
like,
a thing,
you know,
but yeah.
It was a thing. It was a constructive thing. It was
a
good thing.
Well, a lot of people died in the ring space, though.
Yeah, but that's because they fucked around and found out. Throwing grenades and see how far that gets.
Yeah,
you,
yeah, I know what you're saying,
still,
there's a lot of uncertainty with the proto-molecule all around, really.
I mean, at this point in the development of the proto-molecule, it's not hurting anybody. It seems clear why it was hurting people. It's not malevolent. Mm. It just sees material to use.
Yeah, and also, Eros was man-made. Eros
was a man-made human-made disaster. Yeah.
As was the hybrid.
Well, it was a man-made disaster, but the man-made disaster was just unleashing the proto-molecule and letting it do its thing.
And then locking people in, and then radiating people.
Yeah, yeah, but the proto-molecule was doing what it seemed like it wanted to do. And also, we don't know that, you know, just because it's okay now, we don't know what its long-term, you know, it's
so
still
this,
a sort
this
of
is,
kind
is
of
this
sentient
Drew being
thing.
Holocaust and apologetic again, you know? Holocaust and Eros aside.
No, I'm saying we should, like, it's legitimate to still fear it. It
yeah,
is a very
I
powerful
think, yeah,
thing that we don't,
see
that we don't
yeah,
understand.
Yeah, but I also think that it's almost like, but it doesn't seem to have any plans on actually, to be feared, yes, but it's like discovering electricity, right? Like, it's like, but respect
well,
it, it's fine.
It's electricity with a consciousness.
Which is quite,
It has goals and aims, and we don't know what those goals and aims are, and it's very powerful.
Yeah.
You know, it's not electricity.
Well, in that case, we can't legislate against something like that, can we?
Well, that's kind of the point. I think he was making is that you can't really stop people from going out there and doing stuff and poking at it anyway.
Yeah.
You know. Mm. But there was something in the. I've not taken a note of it, but there was something that was in the communication with. There's a point where we know Miller is gone for sure. And the investigator is literally just an average. I can't remember what it is, but there's something that's said in one of the conversations, either Miller talking to the station or Miller talking to Holden, one of them. But it makes it clear that Miller isn't in control. He's just the hologrammatic face or whatever you want to call it that they're using.
Well,
to speak
he pretty
to
much said as much, didn't he?
That's why he calls himself the investigator. It's definitely not Miller. It's the investigator, and it's using Miller's appearance and mannerisms and speech and everything to do what it's doing.
It's a version of Miller, is how I see it, but it's not necessarily.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it is. I think that's the point. I think that's the point that's made it. I wish I'd taken a note of the exact thing. There's a thing where he's saying it goes, right, there's actually a disconnect here.
But also other people.
No, it's not. This thing that's said makes it clear to me, at least, that. This is the station communicating. This is the protomolecule system communicating and using bits of Miller as a conduit rather than Miller having any direct. You know, I mean, even Holden says it himself that he doesn't think they can trust Miller anymore because it's not actually Miller. You know, it's the protomolecule talking to him. Anyway,
but he has all the voices of people from Ceres inside his head.
Yeah, but they're not. Again, it's not actually them that's having any interaction. They're just just hearing that. That's the sort of Miller machine, if you like.
I think the distinction is between. A version of Miller reconstructed by the protomolecule, and that version of Miller has a consciousness and he's in control, versus something that the protomolecule is constructed out of bits of Miller, but the protomolecule is in control.
Yeah, and I think it's the latter.
It's.
And I think that's become clear. Anywho.
I mean, I think there's a bit of Julie Mao in there somewhere, probably, right?
Oh, yeah. I think there's a bit of
I don't know if we've had. But I don't know if we've had anything that indicates that, really.
Unless Julie Mao is still on Venus.
what we've had is very different from what. I'm trying to connect it with the Miller Holden stuff on the station, and it seems different even than that.
Yes, it does. Yeah, I agree
and it feels
that.
To
yeah,
me
yeah.
like Miller had more agency then.
More Milleriness.
More Milleriness, yeah. Whereas now it seems to be mostly just talking for the protomolecule.
I think maybe because the bit where he talks about all the the thousands of people who were killed on Eros being in his head, that seemed very Miller. That seemed like
it does, yeah. So, yeah, having them in your
there's,
skull,
there's self awareness there, yeah. So I think there's maybe a battle going on or a.
But I think Miller's losing it. what's left of Miller, I think, is losing or has lost it. Anyway, Nancy Gow. Yeah, we can talk about Nancy Gow now. I did say she's not gone. I did try to make sure we didn't upset you, Chris. She's definitely there. So she's challenging Abbasarala for leadership of the UN. And Abbasarala's never had to stand before because she's risen through the ranks and got the job, basically.
I want to know how elections work on Earth, on the UN, whatever. The UN controls it. Because...
Yeah,
it seems like just somebody like there's a president, and then somebody goes, "I want to go president," and it's like, "Okay, we'll have an election then."
Yeah, that's what it seemed to be like, wasn't it? It is a bit weird. They seem to sort of brush past an awful lot of potential legislation for that.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't mention like there's an election coming up, or they do seem to be post-party though. It does seem to be a no-party or one-party state, which is interesting.
That's true. Yeah, it seems to be people rather than parties, which is and it seems to be the policies that people are voting on rather than the as you say, rather than any one party.
Yeah, this is a very romanticised election, isn't it?
It really is.
Well, it's like George Lucas's idea of royalty, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Elected or it's queens
Thomas Jefferson's incredibly naive idea of how politics and economics work.
Mm. So, we now know what Nancy goes on, and hence the ponies and blowjobs speech from Avasarala. Yeah, do you guys want to talk about anything around there? I don't want to, because I've not got that many notes. I've cut down the note taking to just try and keep to the point a wee bit better.
Well, back to what Chris was saying about Avasarala. Definitely, like, we still like Avasarala.
Mm.
We love her, don't we, folks?
We do. We love Avasarala.
She's definitely gone off the rails policy wise.
Yes. Hmm. Well, actually, it's not so much going off the rails. It's just being too stubborn.
Do you think there's a bit of a message like the almost like the position is corrupting?
Maybe, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, but she's not being corrupt. I mean, it's not...
She's not doing things institutionalizing. For her own interest. Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
She's giving into her own sort of psychoses and so on, rather than... As what she was able to do when she wasn't top of the pile was to be more analytical and...
Yeah, when she was a wee bit removed from it all, she seemed to have more power almost.
And also, what is interesting is it's mirrored with Ashford in The Behemoth, where it's like he did prove to be quite an adept first mate, I think is the term, XO, but when he became the captain, it sort of fucked with his brain.
Yeah.
I
think there's some.
You've got something in there.
And also, President Man. They talk about how great. Although President Man was always a bit shit.
Well I wonder if that also, because that does seem to be it's a low key theme, but I think it is a theme, and I wonder if that also connects to the idea of the proto molecule civilization, the builders, whoever created the proto molecule, like they got too preeminent, too top of the pile, and were a bit whatever.
Hubristic.
Hubristic, maybe.
Oh, yeah. so this is Daedalus and Icarus and another one. Like, power corrupts. What an interesting and defining message that is. I agree with Nancy Gow that like we should have ponies and blowjobs and also go through the ring.
Also let people go through the ring. I mean, again, it seems very... what's the word I'm looking for?
Sexy?
No. there's just almost a parochial sort of way of thinking about it, because they've discovered one planet with things happening and they've just like forget everything, ignoring everything else. It's like, why not keep sending probes and let people look around a bit? What's the...
Can they focus on domestic policy a little bit,
The UN does seem, anytime it comes to something like this, when they've got to send out a science mission or something, the UN seems quite poorly resourced.
Yeah, it's odd. Well, like, I mean, they've lost a lot of ships and stuff as well, I suppose. But then...
Like, when the Venus thing happened, rather than sending an entire science fleet, it was one kind of fairly flimsy weather balloon, essentially, with people in it.
It did seem like it did. It was literally a weather balloon. You'd expect more. I think the UN are strapped for cash, to be honest.
I mean, it kind of makes sense. They've got they've exhausted all their own resources. They're relying on the belt. I mean, it's very much like first world economies now. Like, they've just run out of ways to increase productivity. Mm. If you can't have more land, you can't, at that point, when you've also, you can't be an imperial power anymore. You've run out of your own resources. You don't have anybody else's resources to steal. Unless you can expand into more land, there's no avenue for productivity growth when technology's fairly... stagnant, stable, whatever, as well.
Yeah.
Which, again, makes more sense to go through and explore the other systems.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Nancy Gow's making sense. I mean, she's selling it to me, that people
should... Nancy Gow, president for Earth.
If the election was today, I'd be voting Gow.
Yeah.
Do you care about the implied nepotism, the opposition research that... Also, can I just mention, I watch a lot of like political dramas and stuff, And there's always this fucking scene where they dig up some dirt and somebody on the campaign's like, we can't do that. We're the good team. We don't play. Like, that's so fuck off. That's that cliche can fuck off. That's so unrealistic. Everybody at that point in a political system, political process, is fucking on board with like doing whatever it takes.
Yeah,
to
that
win.
Kind of thing.
But
is,
also, like, as far as dirt goes, that's pretty light dirt. That's like well, that's like high quality compost, really, isn't it?
But not because if she's trying to get the votes of the people. Yeah, but and the people are being told, is, well, like, she only got this because she stood on everybody else to get here. You know.
I don't think that as a combination. Obviously,
this story is going to go on a bit. You know, there's a story thread being built here. So I don't want to say
but it's
too
like,
much.
You cut corners to get into college or whatever. It's like, most people would probably do the same in your position. Like, it's like,
All that says really is the system is fucked, and I did what I needed to do to,
to game it.
I would have done the same thing in it. Like, if it meant, you know, I could have. I don't know what slept with the boss or
who's the boss
called
here?
In some favors or whatever.
But must be true.
Would you sleep with President Man to get ahead, so to speak?
Probably.
With President Man?
I mean, I'm not saying I'd enjoy it, but it's like,
imagine what he'd be like in there.
Yeah, he'd probably be like very bland. It'd be like three strokes of missionary and you're done, you know, like
three strokes of missionary and you're done. It's like, oh, I wish we had episode titles, because that would be it.
That would have been well, that you know, it can go to the thumbnail if you want, you know.
You know, he looks like he showers. You know?
He would lie there and he would just be smiling the whole time. You know, that inane smile. Like, no, he'd be coming and it'd still just be that inane smile. Wouldn't even blink. And then he'd just go, thank you very much.
Yes. Shake your hand and then.
Yes.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, because it's not like she embezzled money. It's not like she killed anyone or
But she could have indirectly killed people though by them not getting their chance. You know, it's a lottery system.
Well,
it also
rests on an assumption that people expect better of politicians, and I don't expect better. I expect them to do their fucking job. I don't expect them
don't
to
do
be
that either, though,
morally unimpeachable people. That's not my bar. My bar is, are they going to do their fucking job and do something, you know.
Yeah, but they didn't do it for money. They did it to make a better life for themselves in a way that they still worked for it, presumably, right? They still
like I say, there's, you know, that story is obviously going to carry on unfolding as we go on, so we can
I think maybe by today's standards it probably is pretty weak sauce, right?
Yeah, that's possibly the problem, is we've had so many other things going on in real world that, you know. Mind you, you got to remember this. As we go on in this show, we're getting into the current decade. You know, this is 2018, 2019 at the moment. 2019 at the moment.
Oh yeah, so even for when this comes out, maybe when the books were written, it was a bit more.
So this was,
no,
this
the
was
books
post-Trump.
Were being written as we went along.
This episode came out post first Trump term.
Mid-first Trump term,
2018. So, it's in the same political context as now, really. We're a bit further down that hole, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't think they really,
I don't think they really go
into that sort of thing, do they?
It's kind of funny, actually, because, that you know, President Man, his episodes were pre-Biden, and he is literally fucking Biden.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, he couldn't be more Biden than...
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, I don't like care that Keir Starmer gets free football tickets or whatever it is. Like, I'd much rather
me.
He actually.
It'd be better if he did something instead of being.
Yeah,
if he was doing his job, I wouldn't care. Do you know what I mean? It's the fact that he's not doing his job and getting this free shit. Like, that it does make it a bit more irritating.
Yeah, it just makes it seem like he's there for the free shit and nothing else.
Yeah. I was going to use Corbyn as an example, but I can't even think of something that Corbyn would accept. Like, if that kind of like corruption came out with court, you know, he his friend got him into whatever universe, like, I wouldn't give it. I don't care. Just get a letter.
Oh, but the press would be all over it, though. It would be amplified and.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, you know,
they'll make shit up anyway.
Yeah.
So it doesn't
really, when I was watching that document, they literally make stuff. I mean, I don't know how they get away with it with certain people, and they're so scared of others. I mean, some people were saying that the thing about. What's the president's name? Musk was, you know, people are, they're saying that people are afraid of it, in Britain particularly, because of the libel laws, and he's quite litigious, and it's like, but if he did something that's very obvious, fucking let him take you to court for it. Let him, you know, have it stand up in court, have it shown in evidence.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with that, I mean, I agree with you, but the problem with that is, like, in, you know, in courts, less so in British courts and American courts, but money, you know, good lawyers, the best lawyers, huge legal team, you know, paying for that stuff, it, you know, it is an advantage.
Yeah. Mm. People are scared less of so
here,
money.
Though, less so here.
But it would be the British libel laws that would be the problem, according to the experts.
But here it's also very political here, really, because, like, you look at the Just Stop Oil protesters.
Mm. Oh, yeah. They will absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, the crucified.
I don't know how much money was in. Yeah.
But then, on the other hand,
you know,
not
the rioters
got
a slap on the wrist, you know.
Not to provoke Hamish by being a Trump apologist, but the prosecution of Trump for doing the kind of things that CEOs do all the fucking time, that was politically motivated as well. When he says that, he's not wrong. That was politically motivated.
Mm.
I think it, and also, what irritates me about that is, again, it's the Democrats understanding the political moment, because nobody gives a shit. Mm. The stuff they were getting Trump for, the kind of people who would ever vote for Trump, they don't fucking care about that stuff. It was a double failure on the Democrats' part. I feel like they don't fucking get it.
No, they don't. I mean, it's not dissimilar, on the other hand, to the Hunter Biden thing. That was also a politically motivated.
No, absolutely, you know,
You know, that's just how politics works now, I guess.
Yeah, and again, nobody on the Democratic side gives a shit about. If anything, it made me very sympathetic towards Hunter Biden. I feel sorry for him.
He should stand in the primaries next time.
Well, I don't think that necessarily would be a good idea. But he seems like a decent person who was brought up in a horrible situation and just.
I mean, his brother died. That's not nice.
No.
But on the other hand, he does have a big cock, apparently.
Yeah, which, you know, that speaks for him, I think.
I don't know. Stick him in the primary, see what turns up.
We need more. I mean, we've had like the epitome of little dick president, which is Trump. Like, it'd be nice to see, you know, a BDE. or big vagina, like whatever your genital configuration is. Just, you know, somebody with the confidence that anybody confers.
ACO seems to be AOC.
She's fucking useless though.
She seemed all fire and piss and vinegar and everything at first,
for the first 10 minutes,
and then she just started backing down on, you know, and apologising for saying basically truthful things on social media and stuff, and it's like,
she 100% capitulated to the Democratic establishment, and at that point she's useless. She's not.
Yeah, but also one of the big problems with the last series of primaries is that, like, the money people, they brutalized the primaries on the in like with Cori Bush. She was pushed out because they, like, basically AIPAC decided to fund her opponent in the primaries. And that happened with a whole bunch of other candidates as well, is that money was just thrown around ridiculously to just, like, you know, cut down all the progressives. And
it's the same thing they did with Sanders, is he won lots of stuff, and they just changed the results. They just literally changed the results at the party level and said, "No, we're just going to go with this." They just literally lied straight up.
Yeah. See, this is why I think the Democrats are,
and it's the same thing that happened here with Corbyn. People, they just you know, the press and the you know, the hard, the right hand, the right side of the Labour Party, which is what we've got left, just kept going at them until everything.
I mean, there was a particular failing during the Kamala campaign where she essentially abandoned, she needed a broad coalition in order to win, and she abandoned the left with the Gaza stuff. And I think the poll came out recently showing that
people
who voted Biden in 2016 and didn't vote Kamala in 20 just gone. Not 2016, 2020 versus 2024. Their number one reason for not voting was Gaza. It wasn't a majority, but it was a big.
But also, what is distinct in this is that, like, Democrats lost because people didn't turn out. It's like people just didn't.
I think there was 160 million American voters and 60 million turned out or something. So less than half.
Because Trump increased his vote share again. not his vote share, his vote is outright numbers as well. Mm. Like, it's not like he's even like trending in the wrong direction. Line is going up for Trump.
Well, when I was watching the cover, and this was MSNBC, which is the most Democrat aligned mainstream news in America, right? They're fully on board with Democrats, and even they were saying the anti-war vote has gone to Trump. People who are very concerned about Gaza. People are very concerned. Well, it's not ironic. It's opposite in the moment. The Trump Republicans. If your main concern is foreign policy and not doing war, they are the anti-war party at the moment, which is absurd. But that's the way. I mean, and that that's flipped between the two historically. Like, it's not like the Democrats have always been, to the extent that they ever were, the anti-war voice. Things are shifting around. It's weird, like the old.
But it almost seems to me that like America is amalgamating into a one-party state, and the Democrats are sort of almost rotting away at this point because they're doing the same thing again and again and again, and they're expecting results which they're not getting. It's becoming like they're both parties for the rich, but at least the Republicans are have the courtesy to lie to working class people. Kamala didn't offer anything. She had no and they always talk about the middle class, which is great, but like, what about people that are genuinely struggling, not white picket fence?
That's what they're in America. When they say middle class, they mean working class. They mean what we mean when we say working class. It's an oddity of their system. But yeah, I think it's that. I think it's I've forgotten. Had a couple of other things, and they've gone out.
Anyway, Democrats are pretty much irredeemable at this point. They've opened the door for fascism far too often.
Yeah, they're kind of institutionally geared to fail. Like the Democrat Party itself, but all the consultants and all the people who essentially get paid to run elections, they make more money when they lose. So they're not. There's not a huge. I think, and also, in terms of one party, they've got two capitalist parties. Same as us, we've got a plethora of capitalist parties. Like, it's there's nothing else to vote for.
Well, there is, but they don't get any say.
I voted Green in the last election.
Yeah, I voted Green. Yeah.
See, I voted Labour, and I'm so fucking fucking regretful of it. It's the one time I usually do typically vote Green, but the one time,
I mean, I voted Labour a lot in the past as well, and it was just. We, in Scotland particularly, we mainly voted for Labour for my adult life while I was living in Scotland, and we never got it. We never got a Labour, but we got New Labour, which was basically Tories, and Scotland got fucked over. We came to the... while I was living down here, we got the referendum, and everybody from every party came together to sink the possibility of that getting a yes vote as fast and hard as possible. All the media lovies, all the newspapers, all the TV channels in Scotland and without, all of them were fucking on the fear and everything will go wrong and we can't do it. I think who was it? Can't remember who it was. Oh no, it was Frankie Boyle was sort of mocking. Like he did a thing where he was doing like there's an old Scottish couple on a quiz show. And the question is, can you sell oil for money? And they're sort of humming and hawing and arguing with each other. Can you sell oil for money? Can you sell oil for money? and it's like, fucking yes, you fucking can. But, it was all, we could have had nuclear weapons out of Scotland, which probably meant they wouldn't have been in Britain. I don't think anywhere else in Britain would take them. Although they'd probably try to ship them to Northern Ireland or Wales.
I mean, that's why America will never let Scottish independence happen.
But, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's another reason. Yeah, in case they don't get that foothold.
I think I've voted since being 18. I think I've voted in all elections but one, general elections, and in none of them have either the party I voted for have not won my constituency and not won the election overall. So my vote has literally never counted.
I mean, this not necessarily in the grand scheme of things, but having a good local MP probably is better than having a bad local MP.
I've never the MP I voted for has never won either.
Oh right,
so my vote has literally never counted.
Yeah, it's never been a first past the post set up for money to run it system. That's the problem we've got in both sides of the Atlantic.
And I find it a little bit like broadly irritating that people don't see that as the problem it is, because it seems very academic to your bloke on the street, but it's it's actually...
Well, the thing is, the mainstream parties and probably liberals in general don't want it now, because if we had it now, you've got the reforms on 24%, Tories on 20-something percent.
The inability to cope with the lurching to the right constantly has basically left them at the point where if they did go for proportional representation now, it would open the door for fascism here as well.
I still think we should do it because it is more democratic. Yeah. We're either a democracy or we're not.
And if it's closer to any sort of fairness, that's true. But at the moment, until they fall apart again, which they do every few years apparently. But we're still getting all this Brexit was a good thing bollocks from people, and some people seem to still buy it. I mean, everybody's worse off. And a lot of that
is arguable. You've got to bear in mind that the entire media is anti-Brexit. If you look into the numbers, it's not clear cut one way or the other. Honestly,
if the money people are saying it, then I'm going to go with that. You know, if the Financial Times are saying that,
the money people who are firmly anti-Brexit. If you actually look at the research they're pulling from, it's not clear cut one. There's arguments to be made that we're better off out. There's arguments to be made that we would have been better off in.
What's one of the arguments that we're better off out?
Well, it's just the numbers. It's just which numbers you look at, basically. And another problem is COVID impacts it immensely, and the anti-Brexit people will pretend that's not the case and basically factor in the damage that COVID did to the economy and blame that on Brexit, essentially. I'm ambivalent. I don't care one way or the other. I'm just saying it's not a clear cut that we are worse off. And certainly in terms of money in the pocket of normal people, fuck all difference.
And in Wales, that's not the case. In England, it's different. I know that.
Yeah,
different
for Wales. Yeah, different for Ireland.
It's different for Wales. Like the EU funding has given us quite a lot. It'd be very generous to us if we're honest.
But again, it doesn't end up in the hands in the pocket.
It goes swimming pools and community stuff.
Which is good. But in England, the discussion is largely around GDP, and higher GDP doesn't mean people are better off.
No, that's for sure.
It just doesn't. No.
That's true.
So even if our GDP would have been higher had we stayed in, does that benefit people?
Yeah, but I mean, having Europe as a almost a frictionless trading bloc is that's undeniably a good thing.
Yeah, that's a huge thing for small businesses.
I'm not just talking directly
about money. We are worse off for a lot more reasons than financial. Well, they are financially related, but lots and lots of small businesses have been fucked completely because they can't easily and affordably trade.
But a lot of small business owners voted for Brexit because they were constricted for exporting to other outside of the EU. That was harder than it necessarily is outside.
Not necessarily very small businesses, though. I think you're talking slightly
small
bigger.
Medium sized, yeah. But the thing is, I come back to what I always come back to. If somebody is unambiguously pro or anti-EU, they're a fucking idiot and you shouldn't listen to them. It's fucking complicated.
I mean, it always is, but in the broad strokes, it's one of our best weapons against climate change, because we have to do things in...
No, I don't agree with that. It's piecemeal neoliberalism, which, again, the rhetoric is good and they're doing tiny things, but they're not doing enough. And if they're not doing enough is the same as doing nothing or doing harm, fundamentally. This is why Trump pulling out of Paris Agreement, it really means nothing. America wasn't doing enough, not even fucking close. And if it's a binary thing, really. Either you're doing enough or you're doing some form of not enough. And what form of not enough you're doing kind of makes no fucking difference.
Well, of course it makes a difference.
Yeah, it does.
In what way?
Well, yeah, it's not like we either get climate change or we don't. Is that there's a whole scale of in between.
Yeah,
I mean, we're already getting it now.
Not really in terms of hitting the tipping points and the runaway feedback thing.
No, but if you just go, none of it matters, then it's always going to keep getting worse.
No, I'm not saying none of it matters. I'm saying hold them to account and get them to do fucking enough. They're not doing enough. This is stuff that, you know, Greta Thunberg is saying. This isn't radical.
What about, like, yeah, but, like, with, like, oh, sorry, I've lost my train of thought now. on the broad strokes of it, right, surely institutions like countries working together is better than them being, you know, like,
It depends what they're working together to do. If they're working together as the EU are to fuck poor countries and enrich Germany and some others from time to time, and institute neoliberalism, prevent actual political change, prevent countries from nationalizing their own fucking industries, prevent countries from put capital flight controls in place, essentially institutionally preventing socialism from actually ever happening, then no, I don't think it's a good thing. I don't think that's a good thing, no. Some of the stuff they did was good, but its institutional goals and purpose are not good, no.
Yeah, but I kind of think a lot of these preventative things are a little bit overblown, right? I know specifically with immigration, we have less control over our immigration borders now because we're not, you know, collaborating both sides of the English Channel.
Again, it's not that straightforward. You're putting it very straightforward. It's not really that straightforwardly true. In some ways, we have far more control. In political reality, we have no control and we never will have because we need immigrants.
Exactly,
and they all
which
know
is
that.
why it's better to be in the tent pissing out than out the tent pissing in, really.
It makes no difference in that sense because the policy will never change fundamentally, so it makes no
Drew's
difference.
Drew's living in a very pissy tent, isn't he?
It's okay. My tent is full of piss.
The thing about being able to nationalise things, that would be one argument that would have won me over if there was enough arguments to win me over to feel that way. I mean, you're saying it's not binary, it's binary, but it's not really. What you're saying is this isn't enough, so that's it. That's how you vote. You vote, but you have all the different factors, and then you decide. It's not just because you are pro or anti something doesn't mean that you've not thought about all the different issues. You're painting everybody in one of two colours there.
Well, no,
you're
but
not,
all
you're not
what,
giving
no,
anybody
what,
a
what,
chance
what,
to, you know, what, there's not. You're just saying that nobody's got any nuance to their argument because they're saying
I'm saying that all
what
all these things add up to is what is clearly the institutional purpose of the EU, which is engendering neoliberalism and preventing socialism. That is one of its.
That's one of
probably
the goals. But
it's singular
but
core. That's the that's the one thing
changed,
that no matter what
yeah,
it will do.
But if we're stuck with that in the UK anyway, why should we have lost the other things?
I mean, that's fair, but also
that's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about.
Another example of the EU being bad. Spain, Italy, France to a lesser extent, a lot of the poorer countries in the EU are fucked at the moment by not having control of their own currency. An economy, something that you can define as economy, you know, the economy of a particular polity, needs control of its own currency to serve its own people.
But we had control of our own currency before.
No,
now.
We did, but France, Italy, Spain, you know. They're fucked. Greece.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with some of the things you're saying. I'm disagreeing that with the overall assumption that one thing, you know, there's not enough to tip it one way. So that's fuck it. Just you know, it's not worth it.
That's the euro.
That's an argument for referendum. This is the argument that the Democrats and Labour make every time. It's you know, yes, we're going to be worse than before, but. But the other one's far worse than us, and that's what leads to things just continue. If nobody's offering something actually better, then things keep getting worse.
Yeah, but what you're saying is just agreeing with it, not agreeing with it, that, but you're agreeing with it on the other side.
No,
because there's not
until
enough happening.
Until you give us something that's actually worth voting for, fuck off. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Let's just continue.
The problem is that if we don't vote, if we say, like, let's not vote because it's not worth it, right, and I don't disagree to 100% of that. But if we don't do that, then we're as voters allowing the more fascistic stuff to fight against.
But your vote counts more in
stuff.
The EU elections anyway. Mm. Well, sort of. I mean, the European Parliament is not as strong as it ought to be.
And it's impossible to change because the European Parliament has no power. The Council has all the power. Which is unelected.
That wasn't really where I was starting with all this anyway. We've gone into a deep rabbit hole.
Ghosty will have enjoyed that section, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not...
This section of the podcast was sponsored by Ghosty.
Yeah. But, you know, the point is, and almost everything you say, again, I'm not having a go at you here, but almost everything you say applies to England more than anywhere else in the UK as well.
I mean, that's a very English-centric
argument. Fair enough, you're in...
I acknowledge that. I am English.
Yeah.
I live in England.
I live in England, yeah. So, you know, there's a lot more... but the problem is that for Scotland, being pulled out of the EU has taken away protections that they had to keep what little power they had gained.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. For Scotland, Scotland's worse off out of the EU. Yeah. I'll agree with that.
So you've got to say, from my point of view, that's what I'm talking about, really. Because, you know, that's my intention to go home.
That's fine, but, you know, I mean...
As you said the other day, you said, fuck off back home, you said. That's what you said to me. You know, get the fuck back to where you came from. You were very
clear.
Not just
you. Not just you.
All
foreigners.
All foreigners, yeah.
No, he
didn't say that. He didn't say that, folks. It's okay. That's a joke.
But, you know, let's leave it there.
Let's move on.
Yeah, well.
So anyway, ponies and blowjobs party got to that hour, that discussion. That was good. Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to our new bad guy. We've got another new bad guy. So we've got Murtry out in the colony.
Mars,
we've got who turns out to be a cop. Yeah, Isai Martin.
What? A dirty cop?
A dirty cop. The dirtiest.
A bent copper?
Bent copper, Gavna.
Dollar store Stanley Tucci.
Yeah. Actually, that actor's good. I do like the actor that plays that part. He's been in a few things that I've enjoyed him in. I think he's quite good.
He's very good.
Yeah. Forgot his name off the top of my head, but so he's our new bad guy, and he's basically Bobby's enemy at the moment. Then,
well, I think in the train ride towards the end of the show, when he makes his case and he says this stuff is all going to waste. Mars is doing fuck all at the moment. This stuff could go to Belters who are trying to, you know, make use of it and explore the thingies. I think he makes a very good case. I mean, and he doesn't hide, like, he's not particularly interested in that. He just wants to get rich off it, but also it is true. And I think he wins Bobby around. Like, Bobby's reaction to that, she calms down and she's kind of like, yeah, that's a fair point. Like, I think he's right. You know, he's right. In that situation, he's right.
The thing is with me, shady cops make my skin crawl. Like, it will be a thing, right? But the thing is, it's like, if the cops are on your side, just ask him, look, if it goes tits up, you got my back, right? And then just fucking do it. I don't give a shit. Like, you know, he's a cop.
But his case is right? He makes a good case. He makes a very compelling argument.
He could be lying, though. You got to kind of assume that he could be lying.
It didn't seem like some of the things.
Yeah, I mean, he was eloquently putting it forward. I wouldn't say that's being.
I mean, I don't think he has a ton of reason to lie. He's kind of got her over a barrel anyway. I don't think he needs to lie in that situation.
Yeah, but I think you're right though. He does sort of bring her around a bit and calms her down. And
I think so.
He makes some good points, but, you know. But that there's. You know, it's like, it's what moral lines are you going to cross, and how can you trust them? I mean, he does say you can't, actually, at some point in this episode or the last one, whichever it was, this episode. Must be. Yeah. But, you know, his point's good, as you say. He makes a good point that all this stuff's just sitting around going to waste. But not caring where it's going is worrying. Because there's a lot of military materials, not necessarily weapons, but plenty of other military materials are dangerous things in the wrong hands. Yep. We know right now that the OPA are not 100% in control of the Belter communities, and that there are a lot of pirates still operating and terrorists still operating.
Oh, so you're saying all Belters are terrorists and pirates, are you?
No, I said they're still operating.
You're saying there's no Earth pirates or Martian pirates?
Not that we see in the show, actually. I suspect the crews can be mixed.
Well, the show's racist.
Yeah, the show's racist.
Well, the problem is, if they're pirates, you assume they're Belters. That's kind of...
We've seen Belter pirate ships.
There must be Earther and...
I don't disagree with that. Oh, my God.
I assume what happens.
You're just trying to make an argument today.
I assume what happens is, like, when an Earther or a Martian becomes a pirate, they kind of go and live in the belt and are considered belters, is probably what
happens. Well, it's a bit like the crew of the...
I really need a piss, though. Okay. I stir it up an ant's nest and go for a piss. I'll wear it, right?
Fair enough.
It's the tent.
It's the tent, yeah. You just see a big stream coming across now.
Yeah.
Because he goes out of his door and pisses into his room. That's how it works.
Oh, now all I can think about is Drew pissing into his own room. That's not great. I had a point and everything.
Cop.
I mean, like, Bobby did kill her own teammates. So...
She killed one.
One. One survived.
She killed one in self-defense.
Right,
and the other one was killed by Amos.
Ah, okay.
And she did try to stop him. So, you know.
Drew, what have you done? I promise it was he stopped my train of thought.
Oh right, I thought you were trying to think about the scene with Bobby again. I was going, no, because she fights. Mm. There's two other Martian Marines with her. There's a man and a woman, and the woman and her are fighting, and she has to defend herself, and I think she knocks her over, and she bashes her neck or her head or something on a bit of metal. And then the other guy, she tries to get him to not, you know, to lower his weapon, but it's too late because Amos is just not taking a chance, you know, for obvious reasons. Yeah. You know, so I don't think anybody did any, I mean, you know, no, nobody came out of that smelling of roses.
So, I mean, I suppose the question is like, when she said you can keep the CCTV on and maybe blackmail me,
and he says, "Oh, I never thought of that."
I mean, he presumably did, right?
Yeah, I'd imagine that was a lie. Yeah,
it was. Yeah.
Well, the question that she should have asked there as well, when Lily was killing that dock worker, did you put turn off the cameras then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I did say that to you as well. It wasn't just offline. It was in the show. I mentioned about episode 2 rewatch. Yeah, I did. Okay.
Yeah.
Here he is. We could see your stream coming right back through the door. It's thrown Chris completely. You pissing into your own room. I was just clarifying that Bobby only killed one of her team, and it was in self-defense. And Amos killed the other one. It was like, you know, he waited to the last second, but he wasn't going to take another chance when the guy had a gun pointed at him. So,
yeah. I still find it jarring that they switch aspect ratios when they're on.
I don't even notice it.
I never notice it when I'm watching. Weirdly,
not when I'm watching.
Yeah, in fact, I've watched these episodes at least like 4 or 5 times and never noticed that.
I don't know why it's...
Which I'm ashamed of myself for.
What sort of screen are you watching on, Chris?
Just a computer monitor.
Yeah, but what's your aspect ratio there? Is it 16:9?
16:9, yeah.
Yeah, because I've got two different ratios on my monitors as well. So I've got like the super wide and the 16:9 above it.
Yeah, but the black bar still persists because the whole video is in 16:9.
Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah, you're never gonna not see them, yeah.
And interestingly enough, is it supposed to mimic a Western?
Hey, I don't know what the, I think it's, they said, I mean, it clearly it's to make
sort of,
it more,
it was some sort of cinematic more, thing they wanted.
More filmic, yeah, more cinematic, but I don't know what they're trying to communicate with that really. Just, and other than maybe just like wide open spaces.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Like when they did the Grand Budapest Hotel, that was a Wes Anderson film. That was in lots of different aspect ratios, but it was like the aspect ratio of the time. So the film moved through pretty great, you know, substantial periods of time, and then it was like one by one, and then this, and then, you know.
What Naren Shankar, the showrunner, said was, they shot the illest stuff in 2.39 to 1. So it's very wide. And it's like panoramic westerns, is what they actually say. So you've got a point there. It gives you this big wide view. And they were shot with anamorphic lenses as well. So when you move around, it's quite a, you know, you feel like you're inside something almost, don't you? When you're looking at something wide and then the
mental. Towards fisheye.
And he said that they gave Ellis a sort of weird otherworldliness, alien quality, because the frame's bigger, it's wider, you feel out the outdoors more, you feel the horizon, it was a great opportunity, blah, blah, blah. And if you watch them closely, yeah, they mix those aspect ratios up. And when we're back on the ship, they're back to 16 to 9, rather, and the frame fills up. And when you're on Ellis, it's 2.39 to 1, and the frame with bars. But your brain kind of factors it out, they say, but it
bothers me
that it does to me.
It bothers me that we express some of them in integers and some of them in decimals. Mm. Like, pick one.
It does annoy me a bit. I would like one or the other myself, but it's just it's become the shorthand, isn't it?
Decimals will be better. Easier to work out in your head how much bigger is this than this. 16 to 9 is harder to work out than 2.35 to 1.
Well, it's 2.39 to 1.
2.39 to 1.
Yeah, 2.35 to 1.
3 is easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
2.35 to 1 is a ratio you get as well, though. I don't know when 2.39 started coming out, but this, I think my monitor is 2.39 to 1. My big monitor. I can't remember. I'll never work it. Yeah.
Scenes
anyway,
in
that's
the Ross Nancy
that's
when it's a... when it's on scenes in the Ross Nancy when it's on Eyeless are cinematic.
Yeah. Yeah, you're getting the black bars because it's wider.
Yeah, it sounds like you were right. It evokes a Western, and it's big landscapes.
This one definitely did feel like a Western, this particular episode.
When they were doing that, the object, whatever the fuck you want to call it, the structure, that, and then they go for a ride and everything, that is, you know, and you see the buggy going across the expanse of the planet. That's expanse. That's very cinematic. What have you? Excuse me, sorry.
And then Amos having a drink with Murtry or Marty or Murty or
He's called him all sorts of things deliberately, I think. But he does say his name properly at one point when he gets serious.
When he's serious, he says it right. Like he knows the name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's just
okay. So we're going to go.
I think there's even one shot. You know the classic old Western gunfight shot where it's behind one of them and you see the other one facing the camera. I think they even do that shot at one point.
Yeah. Well, basically, the animosity between Amos and Murtry is building up, and he warns them in no uncertain terms, just don't, you know, not to fuck with his crew, essentially. And he actually offers to fight him there and then as well. He says, well, I'm not doing anything.
And they, because Murty's trying to be like a cool badass.
Yeah, Murtry's not.
He's like, oh,
he's not.
I feel like there's going to be blood between us at some point. And then Amos goes, well, I'm free now.
Yeah, Amos is just much more straightforward. He's not playing games of being dramatic. He'll deal with it there and then. You know,
I like that.
Yeah, and Murtry's spy, since we've moved away from Martin for a minute, the cop, Murtry's spy gear is pretty weird and cool, isn't it? Like, he's got that tight beam audio scanner thing.
Like a radio mic type thing.
Yeah.
Is it what they call it now?
Pardon?
I think that's what they call it. Is it like where they... Where
directional
they, where
microphone,
like,
yeah.
No, it's a thing where you can point it at a window near where someone's talking.
Yeah, directional
and pick
microphone.
Pick up the vibration.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the laser? That's the laser type thing. I don't know what the actual technology he's using is.
There's some that they're not. I think there's ones that just use like a parabolic.
Yeah, because what it is on.
What it is on the
screen that he's looking at to scan around and point is it is a little sort of cone type thing. So I suspect it's a parabolic thing. Yeah.
What a dick.
I quite like the lady, like the young lady mechanic that wants to go off to university, but and then
oh yeah, Felicia,
like,
her mum's the medic, and she's because she seemed a bit not annoyed but kind of shocked when oh bloody hell, forgetting people's names
Naomi?
Naomi, thank you. Yeah. God, that was weird. Totally gone. You know, I'm forgetting the main cast. When Naomi was helping them fix the thing, because she thought it was her husband and her daughter that were fixing the communications or the power or whatever it was. Mm. And she kind of like, she seems a bit jarred suddenly by that. But also, there might be another reason for that, because we've also found out that, oh, excuse me, I'm getting a call. I've got to take it, sorry.
No worries. Yeah, because so, she basically like wants to go back home.
Yeah, well, she wants to go to university, I think.
University but she doesn't seem to mind like on Earth or anything. But like she's in the belt, she seems.
Yeah. I think the point here, she just wants to go to university. She wants to learn how to become an engineer, and I think that's an interesting situation. Like when you've gone off to, you know, colonize in the non harmful way, because it's an empty place. You've gone off to colonize, start a new life in an empty blah blah blah, cut off from where you used to be. You can understand like the family wants like, no, this is a new life, we're here now, like you've got all the opportunities of a new place, and she's like, no, I want to go back to the old world and get an education. I can understand there's a friction there, and I can't really say who's right and who's wrong in that situation.
I guess I can't either, but like there's probably like I'm guessing that this resolves itself in a best of both worlds scenario where maybe she learns from Naomi, or Naomi takes her under her wing and so it's like, oh, I'll teach you the tricks on how to be a really good belter, because like Naomi's like the best engineer in the belt or something like that. Like
that's the best one we know for sure.
I mean she works on the behemoth, and they can't find anyone on the behemoth that's as good as her. So and she's expert at, I mean, it's kind of, see, this is a little bit of the torn between two worlds with Naomi, is that Naomi is like best placed here in some ways, like she wants to be in Ilus, but she's obviously like struggling with the heart palpitations. And I think even the medic lady said that, like, yeah, the last person that said that died was, you know, in the composter 2 weeks later.
Yep. But I do find that tension very interesting. You know, if you've taken your family out to pioneer and be a new thingy, and your daughter's like, I want to go back to the old world, and that there's a feel like, I think you would feel like your kids aren't getting it. Like, this is a new place filled with new opportunity. Like, those qualifications don't mean shit out here. You can be what you want to be. You know, the ideal example of what you want to be, you can be that out here. I think I side more with the mother, actually, in this.
I think I kind of do, because the old world is a bit shitty. Like, you can build something, you know, or pretty, like the thing about the Belter landscape is that a lot of it is a society built on temporary stuff. Right? Nothing in the belt really seems particularly permanent. So the belt almost seems like it's hopping on to, you know, like it's almost like it was a halfway house between Earth and what lies beyond the ring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly that, I think. Yeah, this is the best we're ever going to get. Why do you want to go back there?
Mm.
You want to be an engineer? Be a fucking engineer.
Was everything okay, Hamish?
No, not really. Mum's back in hospital.
Oh no. Sake.
Should we wrap up? The
yeah, let's. No,
you're
let's
all
wrap
right.
up there.
You're all right. We're okay. I've got some notes, and we'll get through it. There's no point in me just sitting moping about.
Okay.
I was just going to say.
Super sure.
Yeah. I'm sure, man. I was going to say about Lucia, the mum of the girl you're talking about. Yeah. So there's two things that have been brought up in this episode about her. One of them is that she got to the crash site fast. Which is a bit sus in itself, and also she seems to be connected to the OPA terrorists, because they say that she's part of their group and stuff, so that's starting to look a bit iffy.
What Holden got to the crash site fast?
No, Lucia, the doctor, the medic from the colony.
Yes,
she got to the crash site like in the flashbacks. You see that she's basically the first person on the scene. And also that, you know, the OPA terrorists that are chatting mention her by name as well. I say OPA, the terrorists. Are the OPA anymore if they're not part of the OPA? I don't know. It's all getting a bit confusing, isn't it? branding and labeling.
Even in worst case, so let's follow that trail of where that leads. Like, so say she was responsible for blowing up the platform to prevent Mercury from landing. Is that bad? Like, does that bother us that much?
It bothers Mercury.
And
remember, 23 people died as well.
I mean, they are, you know, they belt as they've gone to this planet and they're seeing Earth as coming in to probably try and take it off.
Yeah, I mean, that's which is what it is in the case of the RCE. So anyway, that now is planted. That seed's been planted in this episode. Mm. So we'll see how that pans out. Well, and that leads to, I mean, we're talking about Mercury spying on people. He's obviously listening in on that little group of people that are admitting in private that they're, you know, they are terrorists. And they're going to try and do something against the RCE. And he just basically, again, he basically murders them rather than trying to capture them. He doesn't even try. He just...
Which they could have done at that point. I think they could have quite easily... what's the word?
Subjugated?
Subdued. Yeah, they could have quite easily subdued them.
They could have tried that, but they didn't. They just...
Well, yeah, he stood over one of the guys and shot him in the face.
Yeah,
I mean, Amos said, like, I get what you are, and essentially, like, a sadist. He seems to be, like, he enjoys causing...
Yeah, because he says, your dick got hard when you shot that guy.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, whereas Amos is a what has to be done sort of a pragmatist. Mm. Yeah. And also a killer, but not the same kind of killer as he is. So yeah, he basically murders that group of people when he could have possibly done something much more, you know, again, legal. You know, this is the thing, is he's resting on everything being legal. And that's also his excuse for murdering people, is that, you know, the legality of it. You know,
it is a Western, you know, it's Deadwood or whatever, and he's a marshal, you know, he's the law.
He's the law.
But of course, like, it's kind of not as well, right? Like, it's because
from the outside, from, you know, any sort of moral point of view, he has no more right than they do. You know, there's nothing inherently my chair's sinking. There's nothing inherently giving them any right other than, you know, it's you know. It's the same as the North Americans, you know, the Europeans moving to North America and saying, right, okay, here's the law. This bit of land is ours. We now own this. And so it's like, how can you own the land? You know, and it's just, you know, it's just force. It's just, you know, colonization and force. And I mean, what I think that's what annoys me about it most, though, is that they've got 1,300 worlds or 1,300 systems. There might even be more worlds than that. Them to go to. Why, you know, why pick on the belters immediately when they find one, you know, one place that they can settle, you know?
My guess is that it's the belters of the canaries down the mine. It's like,
I think you've got a point there.
You know, we know that people can be there, so we'll go down and help ourselves.
They've got a bit of that to it, you know.
And I suppose maybe from the perspective of people back home are going, oh, it's a whole planet. They'll be able to get on. There'll be plenty of resources.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, it's the same as people in Europe versus, you know, the natives in North America. It's like, no, they're actually just going over there and slaughtering them. They're not trying to live. Because that was another myth in North America, you know, from what is now Canada and the US. That was another myth in those two countries when they were settled, was that, you know, we're living with it. We're welcomed in here and we're learning the ways of the natives. And we're, you know, no, you weren't. They were just going and slaughtering them and telling stories, you know. Unrelated but sort of tangentially. We already said this, but the Martian tech, you guys were talking about that earlier. Yeah, the Martian tech is basically going to OPA terrorists, which is, as I say, is the worrying thing. I don't want to be teleological about it, but, you know, you must be able to see that although he's got a point, Martin has got a point. The cop has got a point, and he won't make the money. He's not thinking about where this is going. You know, he's just thinking about the money. And I think that's where Bobby might not quite agree with him. Because it could be used against them. You know, that's the problem at the end of the day, is that, you know, you could give this tech and weaponry or whatever to people and then you know, they use it against you.
Yeah, but also he's tapping into Bobby's, like, the fact that, you know, Mars has not treated Bobby well at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, her disillusionment yeah. with Mars, definitely. Yeah, he's definitely playing her as much as being, you know, he's not being dishonest, but he is playing her.
When he says basically it's shocking how Mars treated you or whatever he says, yeah. that does read as sincere, I think.
Oh, like, that part does, yeah.
He's using it, but I don't think he's insincere about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not that he's lying about anything. Yeah. He's just not... He's not given a broad spectrum of the truth either.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not leaving room open for the morality of where this stuff's going and who might have it and all that sort of stuff. He's shutting that down by pushing the buttons to get Bobby on board. On you go.
I don't. Wherever I say now is bouncing around, isn't it? Because we could talk about the bit where Amos gets the generator and kit from.
Yeah, that's an excellent Mercury's little scene. Yeah, go for
that,
it.
That really felt like a Western.
It did, didn't it? Yeah, because that was... Well, and also, earlier in the episode, Murtry says nobody lifts a finger to help them. And they, you know, and they don't share their equipment and all that sort of stuff. Which is just showing that Murtry's deliberately trying to undermine them and make it harder for them. You know, so adding more to the you know, the colonialist impression that we've got of RCE and Murtry's... leadership of that group of them. I was going to say something about that. And it's, oh, yeah. So that scene you're talking about, for anybody that's not sure, is where he takes a little generator. They've got, like, boxes and boxes of these little generators, and he goes to get one because he knows they need it, and he's, you know, it's like, you're not using it. And I love the little fight scene that ensues, because obviously these two... RCE guys confront him, and they say, "You know, drop. You know, you've got to drop it." You know, in the end, and he goes, "Okay, I will." And he drops it on one of their feet. On one of their feet, the other one goes to pull his weapon out, and Amos, you know, smacks his own gun back in his own face, and everything. And you know, and then loads of them turn up, and it's only. I mean, he would have got shot at if it wasn't for, I forgot the way. Chandra coming out and sort of saying, "Look, stop this." But I mean, he's you know, again, we're on this sort of it's a sort of social thing again. It's like, why shouldn't they help them? You know. But the reason,
and also that scene that you mentioned yesterday.
Yes.
Does this mean that we're not fucking anymore?
Oh yeah, that comes up in this bit. Yeah.
And I love her reaction to it, where she has to. She wasn't expecting. Like, she wasn't expecting. Yeah, she's like, no. and then when he walks off, when he's like, cool, and he walks off, she just has a little smile. Like, I like this dude. Lovely.
But you know, and that's what leads. Yeah, and it's that incident, that fight, that leads to the confrontation later in the bar, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he says, "I heard you hurt some, or you attacked some of my people earlier," and he goes, "Yep, yes, I did." You know, and then he just explains.
I do love Amos's.
He just explains it as straightforwardly as it was. It's like, you weren't using it. You didn't need it. You know why? You know, there's no reason not to do it, not to help people. You know, so I mean,
chill out, bro.
That's, you know, that's the big difference, as we, you know, one of the big differences between him and Amos is you know, the sort of empathy and practicality. I think Amos has empathy.
Yeah. I think he thinks he doesn't, but I think
he doesn't understand it completely, but he's definitely got it. He definitely cares about certain people. He always cares more for the underdog. You know.
Oh yeah.
And that's because
he doesn't like to see anybody being bullied.
No, he does not like bullies at all. And I think that is probably the key thing that he doesn't like about Murtry, is that he's a bully. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the actual, that's the button he pressed on Amos.
Yeah.
That's just pushed him to the point where I don't think Murtry could do anything now that Amos would suddenly like him before, you know, because he knows he's a bully. He knows he likes other people suffering, and he's just not going to stand for that. That's not Amos's. Amos can't stand by and let that happen, even if it means he's, you know, putting himself in danger. He will stand up to a bully at any point. Excuse me, sorry, I'm a bit dry. I'm also getting a bit dark. I'm just going to put the light on.
So I gotta be honest, for the most part of this episode, this was not particularly good compared to previous episodes. I didn't feel like a lot. It was more of a character piece.
That's interesting because, as I say, this is my least favourite season, but I liked this episode more than the preceding two.
Yeah, I think because things come to a head with a few things. Like the Nancy Gow story, why she did what she did pays off.
Yeah.
Now we know what it is. She's opposing him. Amos and Murtry are, you know, that's been, you know, they've came to, you know, they've faced off, and now we know where we stand with them.
But I think, like Chris was saying, I think what Chris finds the most interesting this season is the proton molecule stuff.
And
very little of that.
Fair enough. Yeah, if that's your focus, rather, then yeah, there's not been as much of that. But there is a big thing, though. Let's be honest. It's the last note I've got here.
So the lightning stops after a while, right? It goes 13 something strikes?
No, there's 13 strikes combined on every... 13 strikes combined on overlaid on every single strike.
One for each moon.
Oh, right, okay.
But it goes around the planet more than that because it's only moving a couple of kilometres at a time. So that's definitely more than 13 strikes.
And then it starts spinning, and then they hit a torpedo with it.
No, that's not the same. That's not the same bit of machinery.
Oh, wait, hang on.
That's a different one, further away. In fact, it's
a
different machine.
There's two of them, right?
Yeah, well, there's more of them around the planet. They discovered that from orbit. But this other thing that pops up is not the same object that we've already been inside.
Right, okay.
Because there's just a little bit of it popping up at the ground from the orbital cameras. Pardon me,
just
see
out
that.
Of interest, does firing a missile at it seem like a good idea for you two?
Not really. given
I don't get Holden's rationale there. Like when he, like that seems,
well,
just seems
actually,
stupid.
Actually, hold that thought, because now that you've mentioned that, I've thought about it in a different way, and maybe it does. Okay, give me a second to come back to that one. In fact, no, I might as well, because I've lost my other thread anyway. Never mind. So the point is, it's something active. It's physical and active. Mm. So just like the proto monsters and things, you know, like Eros being fired at, you know, guided towards the Earth and all that sort of stuff, they do physically try and stop those things. And this thing is a physical threat as opposed to a more broad threat.
And I was
going to
say,
like
I wouldn't think...
itself, you know?
I was going to say I wouldn't think a missile would do much to it, but... I guess the grenade on the station actually, you know, it was afraid of that, you know, and it made something exploded there, didn't it? And made a hole. So
made a hole and it filled
the grenade. Yeah,
a Martian
filled it with a Martian. Yeah,
I think he's worked out where force works against this.
That's fair. Yeah, and also I think he's a bit pissed off at it at the moment.
Yeah, I think he does seem very annoyed throughout the episode. I mean, he's annoyed more with the investigator than anything else, actually.
Well, I think he feels like he's
driving
being played.
A lot of his annoyance in this.
He's being played. He's not an equal partner in this situation.
Yeah, he's being used to do what to set everything in motion. Yeah, but I mean, it is a machine. It's not an entity as such. It appears to be just a machine. So he does try and knock at the machine. But I mean, you're right in a way that, you know, was it really a smart move? Because the doctor
seems a bit rash.
Yeah, the doctor woman that's there with them, she says, you know, well, she makes a sort of, you know, oh, it's going to kill us all, but it's interesting speech, and that's fucking stupid.
That's
the stupid scientist speech. It's one of those cliches that's in a lot of things. But the other thing she says is that whatever's powering it must be really big and powerful. So, do you know, there must be a huge engine or generator or whatever reactor powering this because of how big it is and what it's doing. So, you know, is it, you know, is it a good idea to shoot at that? Because that might be, you know, like the a huge nuclear explosion or something like that. It's kind of like what you're thinking. Also, it was quite interesting. I mean, it was excavating what was it, 3 kilometer wide trench, essentially, wasn't it? So that's another reason why we know it wasn't the other thing, because it was moving around. It came up.
Not entirely clear on what it was doing or why.
Or why, I don't know either. No, I can't think of that. But it was obviously a mining, excavating type machine that was moving on. But as they say, it was going to hit the colony, or the edge of the colony, which was...
Yeah.
But yeah, he's annoyed. He does react a bit rashly. I don't think that's wrong. But yeah. I think from previous experience, it seemed like, you know, if he thought it through a bit, I think it seems more like we can defend ourselves here than against other things. Because the big difference between that and, say, being in the station or the Eros stuff that happened, on Eros, that is that the protomolecule was instantly reacting to things a lot. And the same way when they went through the ring and the speed limit and all that stuff was all a reaction. Yeah. Whereas here, he didn't get a reaction. You know, he cut the route and powered up the building, but he didn't get any other reaction from it.
Yeah.
If you see what I'm saying? It didn't do anything else. It seemed like a machine, whereas... And that's where this seemed like just a machine. It didn't seem to have any consciousness or control. It was just a machine being operated automatically. And I think that's why he thought it was worth the risk, basically. I think that's even fair. If he that thought about sense. It, yeah. Yeah, I think even if he thought about it for a while, I think that was still the conclusion he would come to save the colony.
I buy that. Yeah. Okay.
Is this a quixotic moment?
I think you might be right.
I think so. Yeah.
Like
tilting at windmill.
Is he jousting a windmill now?
It's very windmilly.
And a
missile is very jousty.
He didn't read the book his mum gave him.
Well, no, he did, but his mum said at some point, like, he basically sees it as an instruction manual rather than a tragedy.
And of course, but what we do get out of all this is the excavation machine. Now we've got tectonic activity on a planet with no tectonic activity.
Okay, just for the viewers, Hamish breaking up, it's not your problem. It's a Discord problem. You're mostly audible, but you are cutting
they
out
are
in
not,
certain
you,
places.
Right, okay, they're not hearing that.
Oh, you're already you're
recording
your
recording.
Oh yeah, cool,
I'm recording
ignore everything I just said.
Yeah.
This is if you email us at the address above and tell us what Hamish just said, we'd appreciate that greatly.
I'll try again.
We've got it on the script anyway.
You got it on the script. Oh, that's true. Yeah. Don't be silly. No. So what I was saying was that there's no it's a tectonically non-active planet, but suddenly there's earthquakes. So obviously, what they've done has because I mean, is it Alex that says, "Oh, that's fixed it then," and then and then of course there's a fucking huge earthquake. It's like, shut up, Alex. Yeah. He's going to say, what could possibly go wrong next, isn't he? Isn't it?
Oh, I do love saying that, though.
Yeah, you do. You are a definite tempter
of
fate.
Funny.
Yeah.
It's such a funny thing.
It makes no difference to anything, really, but it is quite funny. The narrativium of the universe likes people like you, you know.
maybe the quantum wave cares.
Maybe it does. Yeah, maybe it does.
We don't know.
You've killed that cat. That's your fault.
Sorry?
You killed the cat. It's your fault.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
By saying, well, what could possibly go wrong? where was I? I don't want to be too. Yeah, again, avoiding the teleological stuff. I think Chris is going to be enjoying the rest, you know, the next episode and the next few episodes. I think he's going to get more of what he wants. Me though, the Western style part is fun.
When you say more of what he wants, you mean blowjobs and ponies?
Blowjobs from ponies.
Blowjobs from ponies. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Get the slogan right.
Get the slogan. It's a slogan. Yeah.
House motto.
What's her name? Gao. 20, what year are you? I was going to do a slogan, but I don't
go
know.
Go 2025.
Is that what you're going to say? Go 20 something something.
Yeah, but it's 2200 and something, isn't it? Or something like that. 2300. Oh,
something something something.
Gal current.
Something something something. Blowjob from side. Hang on. I'm going to try and find what year it is. Oh. Hundreds of years in the future, it doesn't tell us. It does tell us somewhere, though. I've seen that somewhere. That it's set in a certain... I think it's the books tell you the year. Damn it.
Because you're right when you said earlier that like technology does seem to be relatively stagnant, right? Like it, I always imagine that technology hundreds of years in the future would have advanced more than this in a lot of
cases. I think
it
goes through... I think there are foundational technological advances, like for example the integrated circuit, or what do I mean, the transistor, or
transistor,
whatever,
yeah.
That lead to
explosion,
and it's like also the internal combustion engine, you know, going back to like agriculture, like that, and then you get a period of okay, we're waiting for the next.
Isn't that convenient?
And then they got the
isn't that convenient?
And then you got the Epstein drive is this one, I guess.
So that's the next big leap. Yeah, I think they're not much further ahead. Because certain things can't... Yeah, I mean, you reach... I'm going to say physical limitations, but by that I mean the limitations of physics, not, you know...
Yes.
You know, the constraint of dimensions or anything. I mean physics limitations. And I think that's...
Physical
stuff. Because the technology is not. I mean, some of it is more advanced than us. They've got decent speech recognition.
Oh, I don't think Chris's point that it wasn't more advanced than us, but it's.
It's not massively
seem to be
more advanced.
Advancing. Well, no, it's not advancing rapidly in their moment. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I suppose the next explosion, if we're talking about the next big thing, when we're talking about the protomolecule, aren't we? Really, that's the next thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rings.
Oh, also, actually, for the first time that I can remember, we get a wide shot of the Mars... shall I do a screen share? The Mars...
Sure, yeah, go for it.
The Mars.
The Mars. A wide shot of the Mars.
So this
Mariner Valley Innes Shallows. Yeah.
So are these lots of small bubbles on Mars, or is it like is this just a big bubble on Mars?
We could be inside a dome. Yeah, for all I know.
It's a big dome if we're inside it.
I don't think so.
Has the protomolecule helped terraforming it?
No, I don't think that's changed. This is Mars, so no, I don't think anything's changed there.
Oh, I was going to do the backgroundy thing, but we can't do that in Discord, can we?
No.
I was going to do a very funny joke and put a Mars bar behind me. Imagine how hilarious that would be.
A wide view of Mars, a Mars bar in the middle of the frame. I think that the lights aren't necessarily like living quarters or anything.
Are they domes?
No, I think things are built into the rock. Like they are on like Ceres or whatever.
Ah,
I think that's what you're seeing.
There we go.
Yeah.
Or Tatooine.
Yes.
Tatooine. Or Tatooine. Mm. Right. I wondered what you meant.
Not tattooing.
I thought you meant like, you know. I thought that was some sort of term for building things into rock. And I'm like, well, I don't know what that is.
In a Stokey accent, those two words sound identical if you're from Stoke. Tatooine and Tatooine.
Oh, right, I'll give you that. They did just sound identical. Incidentally, the name of the episode... I want to say particularly... Chris is usually good with this because he's good with words. Subduction is the name of the episode. Now, subduction is a geological process where parts of the lithosphere go under and become part of the mantle. Now, that could obviously refer to the excavator
tectonic
machine thing. But what else?
Before we get too far down that path, it's also a sex position. It's when you get sucked off so hard that you go all the way through them and out the other end.
The anus, you come out of the anus.
or the vagina, you know, depends on who's you know.
Well, no, because if you're going in the mouth, you're coming out the anus.
Not necessarily, you know.
I knew we'd get here eventually. Inside the body. We haven't done this for at least a couple of episodes.
You might just come out of the pores as a gas.
Oh, the pores. Right, again with this funny accent. Hasn't he got a funny accent, Chris, hasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, rich people, I'm sure, do it too.
No.
Pause.
Rich people do it too.
Pause. Where were we?
Is it terraforming then? Do you need to... Is there like a reason...
Well, I mean, it was building a trench, wasn't it? It was making a trench, is all we know. And I mean, it got stopped pretty sharpish. But it looked like it was going to make a trench around the entire planet, didn't it? I mean, we're talking Death Star.
I mean, it could have just been collecting resources to build stuff with for the proto molecule.
That's true as well. Yeah, I mean, we don't know, do we? Really?
It might literally. All just we be know a is a machine.
Yeah, but it was. It did look like it was going to head for the colony. It was on a straight line to that. So,
I mean, that might have been a coincidence. Like the lightning, I assume that was a coincidence. Like it wasn't aiming for it. I mean, actually, I don't know. I've always assumed that was just coincidental. But
yeah, it felt coincidental to me. Yeah, because it was geometrically following a pattern, a straight line again, rather.
Yeah,
which is a pattern of sight of sorts. Yeah, 2-point-something kilometers every 2-point-something seconds or something like that. 2.4. Yeah,
every 3.7. Something one, I think, seconds.
Oh, so the lightning was dotting out the instructions, and then the mining thing was going to go along the line of...
Oh, possibly, maybe. Oh no, I think the lightning thing was turning shit on. I think it was power.
That's what I think. Yeah, that was my take on it as well, as it was hitting other stations or something like the one that
Could it not be drawing electricity out of the atmosphere?
Yep, I mean that's what lightning is, isn't it? In a way.
Hmm.
Two clouds bump into each other. They both get angry, and that anger is focused into my understanding.
And when you curse, the baby Jesus cries, and the tears come down.
Yeah. Which means during Jesus' lifetime. This is documented historical fact, which is evidence for Jesus being a real historical character. Of course, because baby Jesus was on Earth at that time, there was no rain.
Yep. That's why it was all deserty and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's how deserts happened.
Yeah. I've not got that specific thing here. I thought I might have, but it's not there. The detail of the time and distance. I'm sure it's 2.4 kilometers and 2.7 seconds.
It's 3.7 something seconds. I'm 1,000,000% sure, and I think it's 3.71. Because I was counting it in my head, and I counted it at 4, and then the show corrected me to 3.7 something.
Oh, here we go.
I liked how much we jumped around this episode. I quite enjoyed it. Right.
I think jumping around is the correct way to do it.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I just, my brain doesn't handle it very well, that's all. I'm all right, I've got my notes. The Edward Israel, the ship that's, you know, I noticed as well that the guy who crashed with them went back, you know, the one that the doctor was talking to. I thought he was dead, and then I realised that that's the guy that went back up, and because he's all scarred up in the sitting in the chair doing the controls and everything.
Sorry, who are you talking about?
The scientist guy. Back on the...
Yeah.
He was one of the ones that she was talking to on the way down. So he was obviously one of the survivors as well. Or maybe he's a ghost. Anyway.
Maybe he's a Miller.
Right, so, blah, 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 shows them the readings for the Edward Israel, which indicate there is some form of underground structure below the path of the lightning strikes. So there's something going all the way along.
Oh, so that underground might mean, train track.
Right, so that might explain that the excavator was trying to, you know, bring it back to the surface, or at least clear it to the surface.
Okay. That's
and then they get a call from the lightning stopped at another structure on the other side of the planet, and then they feel the earthquake. Wait a minute. So it's not... Oh, wait a minute. No, that's... So that happened... The earthquake happens before?
There was like the thing that might have been the thing waking up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Hang on, I'm trying to find the bloody thing.
Can you stop it with the foul language, Hamish?
What did I say?
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
What did I say?
Bloody.
Huh? Right. I apologise to the audience, the people, for that. Sorry.
The bloody word.
Yeah.
Fucking you said a very naughty word off camera, didn't you, Drew? But I'm not going to say what it was. You can email in if you want to take a guess at it.
Oh my God. What could Drew say that would be worse than anything else that he says normally, you know? No, here we go. Right, yes, you're right. So the earthquake is when the lightning stops.
It was
stops.
The S word, by the way.
The lightning stops and then the machine starts up after the earthquake and starts moving. Oh, it's moving very fast as well. That's the other thing. So the decision wasn't just, oh, it's going to get there eventually. Apparently it was moving really fast and it was forming a 3 kilometer wide trench as it went along. So I think given those two bits of information together now, it was uncovering whatever the machinery was underneath. Because remember, it's been there billions of years. Eh?
Yeah.
Proto-public transport.
It's a proto-monorail. That's what it is.
Yeah. All aboard the proto-bus.
The proto-bus is coming.
Of all the songs in the world, that's not what I would have expected you to sing.
I know, but it's...
But I enjoyed it.
It's catchy,
it's
annoying,
catchy as fuck.
And it fits in with a lot of stuff. That's the thing, though. You find that people who write songs, a lot of the times they won't have words. Some people write music before they write words, including melodies, which are meant to be sung. Mm. Some people do it the other way around, and sometimes it all just comes together. There's different reasons, but quite a lot of the time it's music, then words. Paul McCartney particularly does that. And... So you'll find that a lot of things will fit into a melody, especially TV themes as well that do it. TV themes will quite often be written with the name of the show and the
there's the classic da-da-da-da-da, Superman.
Yep, things like that, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. The words, the name would fit in. But because like yesterday was called Scrambled Eggs at first. What's that say?
Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo-Bee-Doo.
No, that's actually got lyrics.
Yeah.
Those are words, lyrics, Chris, yeah. You fucking idiot.
Those are words, yeah. It's not just a tune that you can fit words into that's actually been written for it. Wow. That confused me. I think, is Chris winding me up, or is he being a bit silly, or is he just ripping the pit? I don't know. You're too subtle, Chris. You're too subtle for me. It's your glorious hair. Although you got a bit of a King Charles Spaniel thing going on today.
Oh yeah.
It's season. Oh yeah. Yesterday, the Beatles song, a Paul McCartney song. That was Scrambled Eggs.
Song.
That's a good song. It's one of the decent ones.
Scrambled eggs.
Blah blah blah. You know, he had filler thing, and you'll find that people do that, and. I mean, I've done that when I'm making, you know, writing a song. You'll have a melody in your head, but not necessarily lyrics yet. So you'll just kind of things, you know, or the singer of, you know, you'll be jamming and the singer will come in and not have actual words, but sort of start saying phrases and words that fit in, and you know. So anyway, what was that apropos of? Oh yeah, the Bingo Bus.
Time and time again, my prejudice that the world would be better off without music just gets reconfirmed.
Fuck you. Philistine. No, I couldn't
live
without music.
Anything.
I couldn't
do you
live
like or not
music.
Like music? Email it in. Because yeah. I've recently, because the thing is, right, there are things, do you ever find there are things that you end up liking because you're supposed to like them, because they're somewhat profound or big or it's understood, like the Beatles were good. I mean... Mm. You know, I knew there was less to listen to back then, but I never
I think the problem with it, you know, people can look back and go, oh, the Beatles weren't that good easily now. Mm. But if you could only listen to things up to the same point as the things that you're listening to from the Beatles,
I reject that thoroughly. Like, all blues is way more interesting than the Beatles. The Kinks are way more interesting than the Beatles. The Animals are way more interesting than the Beatles.
I'm not disagreeing with you. The Beatles are not my favourite band, but I do like the Beatles, and I do appreciate
And it also, it is, there is a lot, I know this is an overtrodden path, but, like, it is just an appropriation of black music for a white middle-class audience, you know.
That's a lot of rock and pop music.
And also, like,
But it did lead to people discovering these things as well. You know, the real world.
Sure, yeah, and also, I honestly think that's how culture's supposed to work. Like, I don't think, you know, that it's supposed to spread in that way. That's fine. It's when it takes over from and draws attention away from, then that can be a problem. But
I mean, I'm a bit anarchic when it comes to this kind of thing, because to me, and I don't know if I'm wrong when I think this, it's like, you're not allowed to make these kind of noises in this way. Sounds to me quite absurd.
No, you're right. But Western music is predicated on a 12-tone system. And that's another thing the Beatles did, was they introduced, you know, things that people would never have heard. Like Indian music, Indian instruments, and non, you know, what to us sounds atonal or whatever. All sorts of things were introduced from that.
Beach Boys also way more interesting.
Oh God,
than
no! I hate the Beach Boys.
I hate them, but they are more interested than the Beatles.
Well, I challenge I put to people, because I've had people do this, like musicy people say to me that the Beatles, and then on my radio show I've played a Beatles track that they didn't recognise as a Beatles track, and we're like, oh, actually, there's more, because people only think of certain songs because they get played.
Okay,
to
death. I'll concede.
My dad was really into the Beatles. I've heard all of the Beatles.
All right, I'll concede.
And it's all bad.
The Beatles have brought out one or two, like, decent songs.
Name one. See?
Hey Jude.
That out time.
Again, that was...
Sorry. Okay. Guess you win.
What did he say?
Damn. I ran out of time.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Right. No, I'm not... When I was younger, I did hold the Beatles in a lot higher esteem than I did. They're not my favourite by a long stretch, but I still think that there's a lot to them, especially in recorded music. And
who's better, the Beatles or Bach?
Or who?
Bach.
I think he means Bach.
As in Bach.
J.S. Johann Sebastian.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
okay.
He means Bach.
I probably much prefer Bach.
There you go. We've settled it. No need to listen to the Beatles anymore. Just listen to Bach.
That's the only two options. Yeah. Again,
ideally... If any of our audience members enjoy music, just like try giving it up. Stop it. try art form. There are art forms that actually have meaning in them. For example, the visual arts, cinema, novels.
I think cinema's artistic value is way overrated.
No, I do too, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree.
Not the potential of it, but where it's gone.
You had this discussion before.
But now it just sells toys and stuff now, doesn't it?
TV's been doing that for a long time, you know. I mean, there was TV shows,
actually, the thing is,
literally,
I think
Transformers was basically to sell toys, wasn't it? Yeah.
The thing is, right, The Expanse here, this very show that we're supposed to be talking about, I find to be more profound than 99% of films, because it's so much more in-depth. And it's
to be fair, it has a lot more time than most films.
Time makes that there within is the difference.
And I think what's interesting about that, and I think this is what you were hinting at, is that like it's always been implied the other way around. Like films are the more meaningful, and TV is the more throwaway and transient. But
changed. I think sometime in the 90s, I think that changed, and we started getting.
I think that's when
less
it really tips.
Well, not a lot less, but a lot. You were starting to get more TV that wasn't just episode of the week. I think The Expanse has grown out of that tradition of not just being episode of the week.
Mm. I think the fulcrum point was maybe Game of Thrones, where that was like cinema on television.
Yeah,
I know, because before you've got The Sopranos and Deadwood before that.
But they were not quite as cinematic.
It's a bit of a spectrum, I suppose. But you've also, if you look at some of the big shows, like Deep Space Nine versus Next Generation, although they started off, Series 1 can be a bit up and down on that, but then after that.
Oh, Season 1's great.
No, season one's all over the place. It's like
it is all over. No, yeah, they're finding their feet. They're finding the show's about for
but
sure.
Once, once they introduce the big long threads, like the you know the stuff about the occupation of the planet, you know, Bajor. Where they are, Bajor, where they are, and everything, all that, and the politics of that makes some really good long storylines that just go throughout the whole show.
But without the to
war,
be fair, like
the war against the Jem'Hadar and all that stuff as well. Yeah. There's a lot of good.
But they never lose. They never lose the episodic thing. You can still watch them out of order and enjoy them all. You know, pretty much. As
yeah,
much.
They, yeah.
Because I do miss episodic. I think it's a shame that we've almost entirely lost the episodic things. I think there's room.
Yeah, it's gone too far that way. Yeah, yeah. I think you're right.
That's why
some
I really
stuff doesn't need to be like that. Yeah, some stuff can just be a bit of a funny, a bit of a fun show with the same people and settings as it was
and
the
also,
week before or whatever.
Yeah, see, it's like season one of The Witcher. I really enjoyed because it was a bit like an anthology of separate stories, and then they kind of botched it with seasons two and three, where
I stopped watching it.
Yeah, like oh my god, they had a really good ball and they dropped it. Like you know,
I feel like
similarly with Mandalorian, although I think Mandalorian sort of
that rescued itself a bit.
I think.
I think like interestingly,
there's going to be another series. Which makes no sense.
In the past, the TV shows that tended to have like continuous arcs rather than being episodic were the lower brow stuff, the soap operas.
Well, that's why Deep Space Nine gets kind of a description of a sort of soap opera and space opera.
I mean, I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's fair. But in that sense, I've heard this criticism. The Godfather is a soap opera. I think that's a legitimate way of looking at The Godfather. I think Godfather is a very good film. I think it's not as good as people think it is. It's a very good film. It's a beautiful film. The cinematography is incredible, but it is a soap opera.
I've never seen The Godfather.
It's good. It's worth a watch, I would say.
I quite short films. And, you know, like when there are films that are like 40, like less than an hour, I can find them quite interesting.
That could be a TV show as well, though, couldn't it? Really?
It could be. Yeah, like
the line between film and TV is kind of blurred as well these days. That's another thing.
But like The Wolf of Wall Street is 3.5 hours. That film does not fucking need to be 3.5 hours.
There are definitely. Yeah, the norm has shifted to longer, and a lot of films don't really support it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
As with games, I tend towards longer form things, but I enjoy a short film now and then.
Yeah, I think a lot of films were deliberately cut for commercial pressure to try and get them, you know, more shows in a day at the cinema. And that led to a lot of like director's cuts and extended cuts and things. But then that became a bit more normalized and people felt like they had to fill that extra space and they just don't, as you say.
I think longer implied like it has connotations of being more worthy because of that, and I think they stretch it out.
That's obviously not true if you see things like the Dune film or whatever, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus, that's a disaster. Yeah.
Let things be as long as they need to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is it's kind of like directors and editors and things have sort of fought against that for decades and then suddenly they're allowed to do what they want and they've like shot past the end of the...
I think film, including TV, like film, you know, time-based media or whatever, if you like, I think it's always been a collaborative process, and in eras where we forget that, you get worse stuff. When the director has too much power or the studio has too much power, when it's seen as a collaborative process, it's always better.
Yeah, definitely.
And you get that, watching Cy and that guy, you get that very strong sense that they understand it as a collaborative process
See, that would be interesting from the perspective of Megalopolis, which is just Francis Ford Coppola's like self-funded vision. Because, I mean... I can't defend the quality. That film is a bad film, but it is a very high quality bad film.
We do need to watch that and do.
We've got to do that. Yeah,
a chat about that. I really want to do that. I don't want to go. I just want to watch it once, and I want to go in blind and just and then come to you and we talk about it. I think that'd
be fun. Can do that. I'm up for that. Yeah. How long is the film?
It's on. It's quite a long film, actually.
4 days.
it's like 3 hours.
Oh right. Okay. Yeah.
But it's going to, I suspect it's going to be 3 hours that feels it as well. That's fine though. I can do that. That'll be fun.
As long as it's not as bad as that Zack Snyder sci-fi thing. Fucking. There's another. That was awful. That is one of the worst things I've seen in years.
What was the film?
Oh, I can't remember what it's called now. It's got Sophia Boutella in it and. Who else is in it? I can't remember.
Do you mean, are you talking about Suicide Squad? No, that wasn't Jack Snyder, no. Was it?
He did. There was a Snyder cut for that, wasn't there?
No, yeah, he's done the other DC.
He's done his own version of things as well, which make them again. It's Rebel Moon. That's it.
Say again.
Rebel Moon.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It was fucking terrible.
I do just want to say though,
to save me from watching the second one, Brother Voodoo watched it and said, "Yeah, you didn't. You're right. It was, you know."
But I do want to say the thing about films being a collaborative process, that doesn't mean you can't have strong auteurs, because like David Lynch, very much thought of as like, he's an auteur, he's in control of everything, he's a very strong director, but he saw it as a collaborative process, and if you listen to him being interviewed, he clearly saw it as a collaborative process still.
Mm. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, when you get
the
you
thing
get
is that film like, that film has got loads of good people in it, but it was I'm going to get upset about it if I think about it too much. So go back and watch the episode.
I've never even heard of it.
Well, there's an episode of The Cultural Exchange where we talk about it.
Okay.
If you're looking for something to watch, Drew, I know you like
a video. No, it's queued up. Yeah. I'm getting to it.
There's definitely an episode of that where I talk about that, and then later on. Mm. To save me watching the second one, Brother Voodoo watches it and says this. Oh, he took the bullet on the second one. But I mean, it's good people in it.
While we're on the subject of the expanded Polar Bear universe, can I just say I apologise for calling the donors cunts. Please continue donating. You're not cunts. That is not the view of Space Virgin.
Do not share our values and. Whatever it is they say in corporate.
I was in a very emotional state that day. I'd taken far too much ketamine, and I was not in control of my faculties, and I apologise sincerely.
Thank you. Speaking of, Polar Bear Expanded Universe, worth mentioning, as well as the three of us doing various things, and me and Brother Voodoo doing things, and those two doing things, we also have other people on there. We have... Ozone on there does stuff, and Anjun has been steadily releasing music, more music. So definitely check out Anjun's music.
Anjun does great music.
It's I think that I thought Anjun's music would appeal to you actually, Drew, because it's
much better than the Beatles.
Breaks the rules. Breaks the rules a lot. Definitely breaks the rules, and it's a sort of electronic music with like arrhythmic bits and all sorts of stuff going on. But it's very well done. Very well done. Way better than I think she realizes.
I mean that kind of stuff is also like when it comes to like particularly instrumental stuff like that. I quite like.
Excuse me. Have we spoken about everything in the Expanse? Has there anybody got notes that they've not covered yet?
If I'm looking at my notes.
I've covered everything.
All my notes have been done. Yeah.
All went right. So we're done with that, then that's good. So just before I get annoyed about Zack Snyder again, you know. people just seem to love him. That's what it is, you know. And it's like, I am going to get annoyed. I am just going to.
I think he's a symptom of what I was talking about. I don't think he's a bad director.
Right there.
He was given. He's given too much control. If he's given the idea that it's all him,
because that's what he did. He went back and recut things. And
same with Lucas with the prequels. Lucas 100%.
Why did they let him do it all? You know, well, he did it himself, I suppose, is the point.
But Gen Z loved the prequels.
I know, but they're fucking idiots.
They're wrong.
To be clear, the original films aren't all they're cracked up to be. They're understood in their time as a space adventure. They were refreshing and interesting and exciting for a kid. But adults shouldn't be watching them now. There's much better films you can watch.
There's much better Star Wars stuff.
I mean, adults who weren't adults who were kids at the time, we've got an attachment to them. But like there's no reason for a Gen Z to go back and watch the original Star Wars. They're not important. They're not, watch the stuff that they influenced. Watch The Expanse.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean,
you can watch banning it.
You can watch.
I'm just
both.
Saying, there's
That's
better
the crazy
things to...
thing about it.
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
I quite like a lot of the Star Wars stuff that's coming out. I like The Acolyte. I thought that was pretty good.
Since
didn't
since
like
Mandalorian, which was well produced. It's got that very Disney. It's very well made. But the problem with all Disney stuff and Marvel, Star Wars, you watch it and it's engaging because they know how to flick your switches. Like it's very engaging.
Yeah, it's a bit.
But then when you finish watching. When you finish watching, it's like, that was nothing.
Yeah.
That was literally nothing.
You've had a meal, but you've not been filled up by it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like deep or nothing like that, but it's fun adventures in a quirky universe, right? Like.
Yeah, but it doesn't, you know, that it, that, like, I don't want to say it's insubstantial, but I don't mean, like, you can watch, like, I can enjoy just, like, things that are just entertaining. It's not about depth or cleverness or anything. It's just, you know, they don't give a fuck about it.
Yeah.
Would you call it mid-brow? You know, is it mid-brow?
It's a theme park. Mid-brown?
Mid-brow? Would you call it mid-brow?
Oh, mid-brow. It's low-brow.
Okay.
It's lowbrow stuff. Like, you know, Star Wars has always been, it's lowbrow. It's not, you know, which is fine. Like, lowbrow stuff can be good. But it's no White Men Can't Jump, is it? But what is, to be fair, what is?
White Men Can't Jump. That's what it is.
Point. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
Hamish got you there.
He did.